Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Luke chapter 8. This is the parallel account of what we read, that Brother Paul read in Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the soils. I thought that this was appropriate for us to look at this passage today because a church's anniversary is a time to reflect on what we've been doing here. And the main thing that we do here is to come and hear the preaching and teaching of God's Word. To hear preaching. Some have been here for 22 years. Some may have been here for 5. Some maybe just 1. Maybe some here for the first time today. Some maybe just a week or so. But you've heard the Word of God preached. But I've got a question for you. How have you been hearing? Please check your hearing this morning, and I'm not talking about that little aid that you have in your ear. I'm talking about how have you been listening, whether it be the past 15 years or 20 years, how have you been hearing? Because there's an interesting statement that Jesus makes in Luke chapter 8, and would you look at verse 18 with me, please? He says in the very first part of verse 18 of Luke 8, "Take heed, therefore, how ye hear." Take heed how you hear. This follows the parable of the soils. You'll go back a few verses and you'll see in verse 8 that he says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And then he says later, "Take heed how ye hear." I asked you this morning, how have you been hearing? How have you been hearing? I often wonder about people who profess salvation and you see no change, no growth, no desire, no fruit. And I think of Luke chapter 8 or Matthew chapter 13. Much people were gathered together, it says in verse 4, of Luke 8. There were a lot of people standing around. And so here you have what most people call the parable of the sower, but more appropriately it's the parable of the soils, because the parable is comparing something that's familiar with something that's unfamiliar to help us understand. It's an illustration, a window that lets the light in. And that's why Jesus is speaking in parables. Again, what you see in Luke 8 is parallel with what you'll find in Matthew chapter 13 and what you'll find in Mark chapter 4. These three gospels, the synoptic gospels, mention this parable of the soils. And I want you to note something. It says in verse 5 that a sower went out to sow his seed. The seed is the word of God. You'll find that in verse 11. The seed is the word of God. How is that seed sown? If it's the Word of God, how is it sown? One of the main ways is through the preaching of God's Word. Listen, his seed is being sown this morning. His seed, God's seed, is being sown each week as we preach his Word. Now, if we're not preaching his Word, we're not sowing seed, we're sowing thorns. But if we're preaching the Word of God, that is the good seed. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Each time it is the same seed when the Bible is preached. It's the soil that is different. And we have represented here this morning possibly 4 different kinds of soil. The verses that we're going to see here, one of them is you. One of them is you. The soil is the human heart. First, you'll see the soil and the highway mentioned in verse 5. It's explained in verse 12. Secondly, you'll see the soil and the rock in verse 6. Jesus explains that to his disciples in verse 13. Thirdly, you'll see the soil and the thorns in verse 7. Jesus explains that to his disciples in verse 14. Fourthly, you'll see the good soil. mentioned in verse 8, explained in verse 15. And the fact that some seed falls onto the corrupt soil is not the result of the carelessness of the sower. It is the result of the caring of the sower. Why? He wants every bit of seed, the Word of God, he wants every soil to receive the seed in order to produce. But there are some soils that are not good, and that's your heart. The soil has among it, around it, and right by it, good soil, bad soil. The efforts to sow upon the good ground also allows the corrupt ground to receive it. This message, God's word, is the seed being sown. How you will receive it this morning depends upon the condition of your heart, because your heart is the soil, according to this parable. So the four soils we see here illustrate the four conditions of the human heart and each one's response to the Word of God. So I ask you at the beginning of this message, what is the condition of your heart? How do you respond to God's Word? How have you been hearing? Jesus has a parable for you. Let's take it in the order in which he gives it. We see in, first of all, in verse 5, the hard soil. That is the hard heart. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. So here's the word of God being sown. Footpaths marked the boundaries between different landowners, and that was the land that was the ground that was walked upon, where the sower would walk, and that soil would be trampled, and some seed would fall upon that hard soil. The seed here, therefore, becomes the food for birds. The birds eat this. So I want you to see, first of all, that the seed is trampled. Notice he says, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. The way is a road. And then it says, then cometh the devil. You see that in verse 12 when Jesus explains it. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil. It is the devil's highway. Folks, some people's hearts and minds are the playground of the devil. The word cannot penetrate their heart because they are full of the world's music, the devil's language, and the devil's ways. This soil is compact. It's impenetrable. And there are many places where hearts are hard due to the trampling of humanism and secularism, where the heart becomes hard. How did the soil become hard? Through the passing of men upon it. Over time, you'll notice something, that older people rarely get saved. Because their hearts, the older they get, become hardened. The path to the heart is through the ear. Some are hard because of what has entered into their heart. The seed is trampled. Then you'll notice that the seed is also stolen. The seed is stolen. It remains on the surface, it says in verse 5. It is not taken into the heart. Jesus explains it this way in Matthew 13, 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not. You see, if the truth is not taken into the heart, the birds take it up. A man will not understand the plan of salvation until he is willing and ready to receive it. Birds, or the devil, or his agents, devour the seed. And the purpose is to keep the seed from germinating, lest they should believe and be saved. Would you note that in verse 12? Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Let me say something here this morning. If you get under conviction, if through the word of God and the preaching of God's word, you get under conviction and you say, I'm going to wait a little while, you know what happens to the heart? It gets a little bit harder. And it gets a little bit harder. And the more you delay, the more you put it off, when you understand, when you feel that conviction of the Holy Spirit, you had better respond. Many times the seed is sown, but it's kept from germinating because the devil uses his little birds to devour. Who are the little birds? Little birds are disobedient Christians, service disruptors, lack of sleep the night before, music that did not prepare the heart but sensualized the heart. Immodest dress can even be something that steals the seed from a man in a service. I want you to notice something. The individual here does hear. The individual hears. Notice that Jesus says that. Verse 12, those by the wayside are they that hear. They do hear. Jim Berg calls this the indifferent hearer. So there's the hard heart, the hard soil. Then we see in verse 6, the shallow soil, the shallow heart. Verse 6, and some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Jesus explains in verse 13, they on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe and in time of temptation fall away. You see, ledges of rock frequently lay just beneath the surface. And there would be this thin soil over the rock that would soon be warmed, causing the quick germination of the seed, and that seed would spring up. The seed is energized. The word is energized. The seed sprouts quickly, but since there's no depth of soil, as Mark puts it, the energy of the seed shoots up its seedling. And on the surface, looks good. Receives the word with joy. But it's shallow. These people run after sensationalism, emotionalism. The energy seen is a cover-up for a lack of depth. Everything is above surface. There's nothing with root. Charles Spurgeon once said, it very often happens that the converts who are born in excitement die when the thrill is over. And that really does explain this shallow heart. This is often what happens with churches when there's rapid growth and seeming flourishing, but there's no root in the Word of God. The seed is energized, but we also see that the seed is rootless. This could be you. This could be you. You profess salvation. You may be a member of this church. This may be you. I ask again, how have you been hearing? Because you go to this plant that is above the ground and you look beneath the surface and you'll basically see there are no roots. Jesus again says, which for a while believe. Did you see that in verse 13? Which for a while believe. They profess to be Christians. They profess salvation. And for a while, maybe 1 month, maybe a year, maybe a decade, they believe. But it's possible, folks, to believe and yet not be saved because your belief is not continuous. It doesn't mean you can lose your salvation. A true Christian, once saved, can never lose his salvation. But a Christian who truly believes will not discontinue believing. But there are those who profess salvation and they can go through the motions and not be saved. Mark mentioned that when the sun came up, it was scorched because it had no roots. At first, it seems so full of promise, but it quickly dries up. I can say by way of testimony, through the years that we've been here in Greeley, that there have been people who have been saved. They've made professions of salvation. And where are they today? I don't know. We try to disciple them. Many were baptized. I could have shown you pictures of many people who were baptized because they said, I accepted Christ as my Savior. And for a while, they believed. But I don't know where they are today. The seed is rootless. The same sun which is necessary for the other plants to grow is the same sun that causes this plant to wither. You see, the truth is seen when trials and pressures and persecution come. Did you see that in verse 13? They have no root which for a while believe, but in time of temptation or when trials come along, they fall away. Matthew and Mark say, affliction and persecution ariseth because of the word. You know what they see? That, you know, living for Christ, I didn't buy that. That's not why I got saved. I didn't know there was going to be persecution involved. And they fall away. Or give up. Some people try the Christian life to see if it's easy. And when they find out that this isn't a prosperity type religion, they give up. Folks, may I say this? No one can try the Christian life. You can't try it. That's not faith. If you come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to try you, that's not faith. Faith is seeing that I am a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I deserve hell. I deserve death, for the wages of sin is death. But Jesus Christ died for me. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I accept him without reservation as having made the payment for my sin, not my baptism, not my church attendance, nothing except for what Jesus Christ did on the cross for me. I accept him completely. I'm not trying him. I am putting my full faith and trust in him and nothing else for my salvation. You cannot try the Christian life to see if it's easy. It has been said that if you really want to know who the Christians are in America, send a little persecution that'll separate the men from the boys. Send a little persecution that'll separate the Christians from the non-Christians. Persecution that'll separate the possessing Christians from the professing Christians. I want you to notice again that this individual does hear. And this could be you. You're hearing again. How are you hearing? How have you been hearing? This is the impulsive hearer. Jesus goes on to the third soil, the third heart, verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. It's explained in verse 14. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, note again, they hear too, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. You see, first of all, that the seed is grown, but the thorns sprang up with it, it says in verse 7. And they go forth, a plant results. Matthew says, he becometh unfruitful. The stalk is beautiful. You look at this stalk, you look at this plant, it's beautiful. And everything points to fruit bearing, but there is no fruit. I believe this is the person who comes closest to salvation without ever getting saved. The seed is grown, but we see that the seed, the word of God, is deprived. This person professes salvation, just like you may be professing salvation here this morning. This could be you. Let me ask you, how have you been hearing? The seed, the word of God, which is being sown, is deprived because the energies and nourishment are going to the thorns that grow up with it at the expense of the seed which is planted. The seed, the soil is divided, nourishing the seed and nourishing the thorns. That's your heart. The heart is divided. Folks, this is a life that is packed with materialistic pursuits. That deafens you to the word of God. The divided heart is unstable. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Divided loyalties. Loyalty to the word of God is one of many loyalties for this person. There's three thorns that choke that are mentioned. You see this in verse 14? And are choked with, what's the first one? Cares. Choked with cares. One of the Gospels puts it this way, the cares of the world. See, it's not the world that chokes the seed. It's the cares of the world that choke the seed. It's possible to be in this world and not be choked with its cares. It says, Jesus said in Matthew 6, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? The cares. Oh, I'm so concerned about these things. And Jesus says, don't worry about those things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But when I am so consumed with the cares of this world, then I begin to live to make sure that I'm taken care of. And it chokes the plant that has risen. That's one of the thorns that choke. What's the second one? Deceitfulness of riches. Is the way Matthew Mark put it, the deceitfulness of riches. Not just riches, but the deceitfulness of riches. Now, it's possible to be rich and not be deceived. But for some who obtain riches, prosperity can be just as destructive as persecution. Heed what Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:9, but they that desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare. They who desire to be rich. Last Sunday we spoke on Matthew chapter 4, the temptation of Christ, and how the devil likes to put snares out. That little wire that comes around, and it's got that little loop where through which the animal pokes his head trying to get in there to the food. And then when he pokes his head in there, it tightens up and chokes the animal to death. That's the picture. They that desire to be rich fall into a snare. Oh, that looks good. And they're choked with it. What's the third one? The third is pleasures of this life. Folks, we live in a society that's consumed with pleasure, that's consumed with entertainment. My question is this. Somebody planted this seed, the Word of God. How did the thorns get there? Anybody here like to garden? You plant the corn, you plant the tomatoes, you plant the beans, you plant the peas. You don't plant the thorns. Is there anybody here who plants the weeds? Nobody? How do they get there? Why is it that we don't have a crop of corn growing up in straight rows and there's no thorns? Here's the fact, folks. Truth must be taught. Error is self-perpetuating. The good plants must be planted, but they must find good soil. But even in the good soil, you're going to find that the thorns love the good soil as well. And here are these people who are in this thorny soil, and they hear the word of God, and for a while, they grow, but growing up with them are the thorns that are choking. It's the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the pleasures of this life. And I want you to notice something the individual does here. This is the infested hearer. And then Jesus says, we read, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 18. Take heed how ye hear. I ask again, how have you been hearing for the last year, 5, 10, 2022? And then notice what Jesus says in verse 21 before we get to the other soil. You see, the disciples come to him and say, somebody came to him and said, your mother and your brothers stand without desiring to see thee. Verse 20, and he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which, next word please, hear the word of God and do it. How have you been hearing. Jesus gave this parable in Matthew chapter 7. He said, two people went forth to build. One man built his house upon the rock. One man built his house upon the sand. The floods came along, the winds blew, Hurricane Irma comes along, and it starts blowing on these houses, both of them. One stands, one is blown apart. And then he says, I'll tell you what, the one that was blown apart is the one who hears the word of God but does not do it. The one who hears the word of God and does it is the one who has built his house upon the rock and is stable, unmovable, and no matter what kind of winds come, no matter what kind of waves beat upon it, it stands. It, folks, is not just hearing, it is doing. So how do you hear? How have you been hearing? And therefore we come to verse 8 and verse 15. Now you see the productive soil, the productive heart. Look at verse 8. Other fell on good ground and sprang up and bear fruit a hundredfold. None of the others bore fruit. Jesus explains in verse 15, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Note, the seed here is nourished. Mark, they are hearing the word, they are accepting it, and they are bearing fruit, continuous action. They continuously have a listening attitude which welcomes the word. This is the one who, when they hear a message, they're allowing God to do a work in their heart. They're not all consumed with being distracted by what they think of the pastor. The seed is nourished. The seed is reproductive. Matthew and Mark say this, it brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. This person desires to grow. This person takes the initiative of the hunger and the thirst for God's word. They've heard it and now they've accepted Christ as their Savior and now they want to grow. They take every opportunity to come under the preaching of God's word. They come under every opportunity to read God's word. They want it. They want to memorize it. It's the word of God that they know produces the fruit in their life and they're interested and they take initiative. They don't have to be dragged and pulled. They want to grow. That's what's exciting when somebody accepts Christ as their Savior and you see them want to grow. Tell you, that's the most exciting person to disciple. What's hard is trying to disciple somebody who doesn't want it. And I believe that's what Jesus talks about when he says in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 6, do not cast your pearls before swine. There are other people who, if you gave them the same effort, they would grow. But this person sucks up all the light, the fertilizer. I'm referring to Luke chapter 13. And they never grow. But folks, this is productive soil. Question, do you have a productive heart where when the word of God comes in, it has taken root and it is growing, and it is bearing fruit. Note that Jesus said, hear the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Where's the fruit? 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. What is the fruit? The fruit is the fruit of the Spirit. Repentance toward God, faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ, a changed life of holiness, prayerfulness, humility, love of other Christians and a desire to be with them, spiritual mindedness, faithfulness to God and to his work. These are the only satisfactory proofs that God's work is doing its proper work in your heart. Put very simply, what is the fruit? It's Christ-likeness. Unless there is fruit in the life, there's no saving faith in the heart. The proof of salvation, folks, is fruit. Not merely hearing God's word, not just making a profession of faith in Christ. It is fruit. People are not saved because they say they are. The proof is not a profession. The proof is a reproduction of Christ's likeness in somebody's life. I want you to know, every kind of soil receives the seed. The seed is the same. But there's three hearts that are condemned. One is commended. And by the way, the sower is not to be taken lightly here. Without him, the seed is not sown. So as we sow the word of God, preaching and witnessing and leaving gospel tracts and writing letters to unsaved relatives, do not become discouraged and widely spreading the word just because the majority of the time it's not accepted. You see, sometimes we as believers get discouraged when we sow. And everywhere that seed falls, oh, he's not getting saved. He's not getting saved. But yeah. But as that seed is sown, some's going to fall on the good ground. You get one door slammed in your face by somebody who's hard-hearted and you give up. A friend who supposedly accepted Jesus Christ who is now not living for him at all. Another one who seemed interested in the things of the Lord but is easily choked by worldly pursuits. The same kinds have come through this church. And some may be here today. The responsibility of the sower is what? To sow. S-O-W. After that, the power is ended. As far as the ability that he is putting forth, the sower cannot make people receive it. I cannot make anyone here this morning receive the word. That is not of my power. I cannot make the seed grow. The power is in the seed. The power is in the word of God. The soil, though, the soil's condition is what will allow the soil or the seed to grow. The hard, they do not understand, it's immediately taken away. That's the indifferent hearer. The shallow, who understand and receive it with joy, make a profession, then they turn their backs on the word. The congested soil is tragic. They understand, they feel, they even practice religion, but their heart is not right, it is not pure. I believe that person is described in Hebrews chapter 6 and in 2 Peter chapter 2 that it would have been better if they had never heard than to have heard and to fall away. The first three soils, folks, are people who were never saved. They may profess it. They may look like it for a while, just like some of you may look like it. But in the end, those with the hard, congested, or shallow soil in their hearts refuse Christ and spend an eternity in hell because they ultimately refuse the word of God. Although it looks like they accepted it. Here's my challenge to Westside Baptist Church on this, our 22nd anniversary. That you would have a productive heart. This is where the free will of man comes in. Do you plead with God to give you a listening heart? When you receive the word of God, as you're listening to this message this morning, is it mixed with faith? This is God's word. I'm going to listen. I'm going to obey. I'm going to do. How have you been hearing? How were you hearing this morning?